15 seconds can save 15% on your cyber insurance. To renew or not to auto-renew? That is the question. Smishing is back, and this time it's personal. These stories and more on today's MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit saltysoulfoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning. Welcome to the August 9th, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch. I'm Ray Rossini, joined by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How are you doing, Tony?
Excellent, my friend. Excellent. How the heck are you doing? I for everyone here, I cannot emphasize enough. We had an amazing, well, I had 2 weeks of travel, but this last ChannelCon event in Chicago, it was huge. There was one major negative. Ray, can you guess what that is?
I know my negative was I missed the hell out of you guys. I got bruised knees, bruised back, and a bigger bruised ego. But I had major FOMO this week seeing your pictures and videos from ChannelCon.
Oh, we missed you so much. I may or may not have sent you a video saying that how much we missed you, but.
So, Ray, Connor and I, well, I said I'm really bummed that you're not here, but Connor said I'm so glad Ray's not here.
We miss
you, brother.
We've been making fun of Simon all night, just for you.
We need one more.
Miss you, Ray. Take care, brother.
I'm just glad that we got a chance to talk. You're okay. I cannot believe how many people asked about you. Everyone. And I'm not saying that, hey, I'm an ancillary figure, but I am clearly second fiddle to Ray. And it was good. It was okay. I absorbed your popularity. I was the visual representation of said Ray's absence.
I appreciate you going out there and being my, what is that? Harry Potter when he does the thing with the stallion or whatever the hell it is.
you're spirit animal. I'm your spirit animal. You don't want me as your spirit animal. There's entirely too much happening.
But I appreciate that. But for now, what do you say we get into the news?
Let's get into the news.
As reported by Acronis on channel E to E, last year, Graff, a luxury British jeweler, was hit by Conti ransomware and paid $7.5 million in Bitcoin as ransom to prevent further publications of the data of the high-profile clients. The jeweler was insured against cyber attacks, but when Graff attempted to recover its losses from its insurer, the claim was denied. Because coverage is getting harder to qualify for, many insurance companies require clients to demonstrate basic internal security practices like two-factor authentication. You've heard that before. Premiums have been increasing each quarter since 2019, and Gallagher reported that it found a median cyber insurance premium rate increase of 37% in Q1 of this year alone. It's not that insurance companies are getting greedy, it's because they've reported rising cybersecurity claims in recent years. The loss ratios in the industry has been nearly 70% since 2020. The article includes three highlights on how you can protect yourself and maybe lower that insurance premium that's hitting you and your clients. To start off, get your own internal security in order by addressing vulnerabilities and insisting clients subscribe to basic cybersecurity services as a requirement for working with you. Also, negotiate with your carrier regarding your own cyber liability coverage and costs, showing them the steps you've taken to reduce their overall risk. Number two, help your clients that cyber insurance, despite its necessity, isn't as reliable as it once was. The better risk management strategy may be to help them shore up their cyber defenses, and this is something you can help with. Finally, sell clients on the value of increased cyber protection services. Have them understand that simply subscribing to data services and device provisioning is not enough. Threat-agnostic cybersecurity is most essential in this digital age. Tony, these are good words of wisdom. I mean, there's nothing groundbreaking here. Do you think this is going to have a real effect on lowering your policies? I mean, is this news you haven't heard before?
I have so many ways of looking at this, but I think the general concept of, you know, cybersecurity insurance, it's kind of like riding a horse. If you're comfortable while you're doing it, you're doing it wrong. So that being said, we've all heard the terms that, oh, you know, it's like riding around with a spare tire, until you need one, you don't really think about it. I think that's the problem, is that everybody is, we're all in the same point of time where we're on the precipice of front row seat of watching ransomware, cyber attacks. We see the factual statistical data of the cyber attacks, but because it hasn't happened to us yet, do I really, really need it? And we're moving forward in time to the point where, as you're going to talk about probably in the next story, where MFA isn't just a requirement. It is the first of many steps in the protective layers that you need to protect yourselves, including having the staff that is prepared to bail you out of a pretty bad situation. So cybersecurity is one of those, I think, connective tissues that make sure a lot of the boxes are checked. But I really struggle with how to make the evaluation, how to justify the relevancy. I love the fact that there's a harder push from their perspective. I don't love the fact that the rates are climbing through the roof. I love the fact that they are forcing people to do the things that are just everyday common sense. Ray, what is your perspective on this? Am I reading it the same way that you are?
I mean, so we have friends of the show, Wes Spencer and Reed Wheelock of Fifth Wall Solutions. They're an insurance aggregator specifically on cyber insurance for MSP clients. And I've talked to them many times about these exact topics. The takeaway they've given me, and it's a one-sided thing, but they have a pretty high-level view of multiple carriers, is that it's rare for policies to get denied. Now, I'm glad this article does show a single policy actually getting denied, but I want to qualify it with feedback we've gotten from others that are more knowledgeable than myself in the industry, constantly saying that it's a rarity, not a common action. Now, doesn't mean it couldn't happen. Doesn't mean you couldn't get in an accident. Doesn't mean you couldn't get breached, right? It doesn't change anything. It's just at this day and age, it's not about if you're going to get breached, it's about when. So you want to do as much as humanly possible to protect yourself. And speaking of protecting yourself, Tony, I think your next story says MFA is not enough.
And in our next story, phishing, smishing, and wishing the attackers would go away. Twilio was hacked by a phishing campaign targeting everyone, specifically internally. As mentioned in bleepingcomputer.com, on August 4th, Twilio became aware of unauthorized access to the information related to a limited number of customers in the Twilio customer base throughout a sophisticated social engineering attack designed to steal employee credentials. The attack used SMS phishing, also known as smishing, that appeared to come from Twilio's IT department, suggesting that the computers, that the employee's password had expired or that their schedule has changed. Twilio said that the attacker sent messages that look legitimate, including using some words such as Okta, SSO, referring to single sign-on, which many companies use to secure access to their internal applications. Note that Okta itself was hit by a breach earlier this year, which saw hackers gain access to its internal systems. Twilio said it worked with U.S. carriers to stop the malicious messages, as well as registrars and hosting providers to shut down the malicious URLs in the campaign. Since the attack, it has revoked access to the compromised employees' accounts and has increased security training to ensure employees are on high alert for social engineering attacks. Twilio has more than 150,000 customers, including Facebook and Uber. Ray, I have so many questions. There's so many layers to this. Can we unring this bell? Can we reassemble this broken egg? We talk about this so many times. Is security forever in this stage of catching up? Or are we ever going to reach a stage of stability? Or is that just because humans are involved? Tell me your opinions on this. A very, very quick summary. The very process that we use to make sure that our accounts aren't hacked, multi-factor authentication, the company that is a core portion of that was hacked. Give me your opinions on this.
All right, listen. I'm going to fill you in on something. It's a secret. It's just between you, me, and the couple thousand people that are listening to this. You're going to get hacked. I hate to say it. Now, with that said, I'm not saying don't lock your doors, don't hide your kids, don't hide your wife. I'm saying absolutely do those things. Continue doing MFA. SMS MFA is bad, people. We should know this already. Use TOTP or push or password lists. There's many, many options. Secret double octopus. There are many, many options. But if there's no other option, like if you happen to be a Bank of America customer, there's only SMS MFA. And this is going to happen. So to the security professionals, I look at this like fire, like a firehouse, right? You're a firefighter. The MSPs are firefighters. They're going to go out and they're going to take out the dog and they're going to do career day and they're going to teach you about fire prevention. They're going to check your extinguishers. They're going to make sure you're all sorts of prepared and only you can prevent forest fires. But they also know they're going to happen. They're also prepared for when that fire starts so they can come in and they know the best, fastest, most effective way to quell that fire. And that's what MSPs are. It's no longer, let's prevent getting hacked. Yes, we want to do all these things we're supposed to do, but also have those plans for when stuff goes sideways. And that's where the DR plans from stuff like Ninja and Huntress and Matt Lee and Jason Slagle and literally hundreds and hundreds of other security researchers have put out and say, hey, here's this DR plan. Here's this resilience plan, this IR plan. Just copy and change it over your stuff and you're fine. I'm worried that that's going to be the new MFA conversation. Last week it was everybody needs to MFA. This week it's everybody needs to have an IR plan. And a year from now, we're still going to be telling people to get an IR plan. And it drives me nuts because MSPs are supposed to know this stuff and supposed to do this stuff. So my question is, do you think stories like this are going to make MSPs more prepared? Because it's not what if, it's when.
Yeah, well, you're saying a lot of things, but I think you're suggesting, and I may be losing something in the translation, you may be suggesting that people should be prepared. Are you suggesting? Is that what you're suggesting?
No. We need a men and women of MSP calendar every year. That's what I'm saying.
you are hitting the nail on the head, which is, In any corporation, whatever that business is, there is a core competency. They have a widget. They're making a widget, whatever that widget is. It could be a service. It could be a product. They're making a widget. The one thing they're probably not making is a disaster recovery plan, making a frictionless environment for them to make and continue making their widgets. The MSP, by definition, is going to manage their services and the importance of that MSP because they are prepared to assist you. It's imperative. It's critical. And you hit it on the head, Ray. You're going to get hacked. I can't emphasize how important that statement is. Everyone, MSPs are the gold lining out there and we should all be realizing that. But the calendar is a good idea. I like the calendar idea.
I can't wait to see Matt Lee in his sexy beard for now until he shaves it off on Mr. December.
But let's jump into the next story.
What a great idea. As shared on Reddit, an email from CJ Wimley, President and Chief Customer Officer of Kaseya, put in an email today addressing customers regarding changes they are making after feedback from several customers about the auto renewal process. We will include a link below to the full email, but some of the highlights talk about the customer's desire to always receive the lowest possible price, expectations on not discontinuing service, quote unquote, in the event of an error or oversight on the part of the customer, we do not want to discontinue service without it being the full desire of the customer. The same email goes on to talk about auto renewal agreements. It says, in order to address some of the mechanics of the process while ensuring that two core elements are maintained, moving forward, the following adjustments will be made effective immediately. All auto-renew agreements are renewed at the same number of months as the previous agreement. Customers may opt out of their auto-renewal process during the term of their agreement simply by contacting their Kaseya account manager. Customers are now notified 90 days before the renewal date. The frequency of calls and emails during this 90-day notification period has increased 100%, and the Kaseya EULA, that's End User Licensing Agreement, has been modified to reflect these changes. And again, we will include the link to the full email below. Now, Tony, these are some significant changes, and the community's been, I would say, harsh about Kaseya during the in the midst of the Datto purchase. I'm not saying undeserved, but definitely the a lot of the feedback has been very negative in a lot of lights, talking about Kaseya's business practices. This is the first time I can remember in a long time where they're specifically going out and saying, this is what you can expect on all Kaseya products going forward to address the exact pain points you've been complaining about. This seems a step in the right direction. This seems a little bit of light to me. And while I'm sometimes a little bit, I'll say pragmatic. Tony, do you think this is a sign of positive things to come?
The moment you said changes to Kaseya, I'm pretty certain I could hear my cells dividing. Everybody was watching. What is he going to say? What are those changes? And what's the impact going to be? Because at this point in time, not only is Kaseya the largest player, they have the ability to have such a huge impact in the market as a whole from two completely different sides. Kaseya's core competency and then the recently acquired Datto. Both have very distinct holding points in the industry, and the combined effort to move things in a positive direction is huge. But until this point, let's be honest, Kaseya's kind of been playing tennis with no net. They're there, but they're not really there to make any positive changes. There's been no accountability. There's been a lot of negativity following a lot of the actions from a leadership perspective and a lot of opinions about the recent acquisition of Datto. But let's be very blunt. This is moving in the right direction. Is it the massive jump that's going to cross the chasm that everyone's been trying to figure out how do they negotiate with? How do they navigate around? Or how do they just avoid it in entirety? I don't think it's quite there, but it is clearly in the right direction. What are your opinions, Ray?
I mean, my point of view is this is all about expectations. It's not a good or a bad thing. It's not, you know, what does the most harm in the community, in my opinion, is the unknown, right? Because if we're good at one thing, it's making up the absolute worst possible scenario in our heads and then verbalizing it. And then you get this echo chamber on the internet. Listen, as a moderator of RMSP, I absolutely get it. You get one person complain about something and it kind of snowballs. So I completely understand that. It doesn't change that you have to be open to the positive things that come out of it. And in this case, I'm seeing nothing but positive. Now, yes, we can go and, you know, put on our magic hat and take out our eight ball and, you know, pretend we know, well, what if this and what if that? And I'm purposely choosing not to do that. I'm going contrary to the standard practice of MSP internet culture, and I'm purposely not trying to read tea leaves. I'm taking them at their word. They put out this email.
How dare you? Are you trying to be positive? Who do you think you are, Ray? We are supposed to be bad cop and batter cop. Like, no, this is a positive thing, and you're seeing it in the right direction. Now, granted, it could turn at any moment, but I love the fact that you're actually taking the glasses half full scenario, and the pattern could be started right here and now. It makes me happy that you're doing this.
But I want to hear from the MSP audience, right? Like, I get it. I'm doing the glass half full. I'm also on really good meds for my knee. So, you know, maybe they're two related. I don't know. But either way, let us know how you feel. Hit us up in the comments. Shoot us an email, news@mspmedia.tv. But, you know, that's good for now. But, Tony, we got some notable mentions coming up. What do you say we get into those?
We do. We've got a lot of other things to talk about. Let's jump into that. Kicking off our notable mentions, as mentioned in TechCrunch.com, SoftBank cautions that longer startup winter may be because unicorn founders are unwilling to cut their valuations. Miyoshi Son, founder and CEO of SoftBank Group, the 64 executive whose vision funds have backed over 470 startups globally in the past 6 years, says that unicorn companies' leaders still believe that their valuations should be high, and they wouldn't accept that they may see their valuations go a little lower. In this particular case, it could have a drastic impact on the market as a whole. Unicorn company leaders still believe that their valuations are remaining high despite this. Quote, so until the multiple of listed companies is lower than those of the unlisted companies, we should wait, said Sun, referring to the popular way investors assign values to firms. Overall, we expect to be reporting additionally on the impact that this is going to have on the overall market, but we're excited to see how this story evolves. Ray, what's the next notable mention?
My first notable mention is reported by Rich Freeman on Channel E2E. Intuit has joined Pax8's line of cloud-based software vendors, according to Ryan Walsh, because of the demand for Intuit's QuickBooks has been very strong since the start of the pandemic. Some businesses utilize desktop as a service solutions, largely to make on-premise deployment of the product available to remote workers. It would be easier to just subscribe to QuickBooks Online. The deal will not only allow Pax8 partners to sell Intuit's popular QuickBooks Online family of financial management tools to their SMB customers, but also channel pros to participate in a vast and growing sales opportunity. Currently, there are 8 million mostly small businesses globally that use QuickBooks. However, the product's addressable market is an estimated 75 million. My second notable mention is Windows 10 22H2 is coming. Here's everything you need to know as reported by Mayank Parmar of Bleeping Computer. Because of the massive user base of Windows 10, the company will be bringing some Windows 11 features over to Windows 10 over time. The most notable feature is Universal Print, a cloud-based printing solution that lets you utilize the Microsoft Azure cloud to manage your printing infrastructures. Users who upgrade to this latest version of Windows 10 will be able to set a pin to a print job, which is a welcome privacy and security feature in organizations that share a common printer, and also helps keep track of paper and toner consumption. OEMs have also been releasing firmware updates for eligible printers, as well as introducing new universal print compatible models. The new print support app, PSA, not to be confused with MSP's PSAs, in Windows 10 is available to enterprise users and allows IT to add features and specific workflows without having to install any driver. In addition to printing features, Windows 10 22H2 will have a new Do Not Disturb or Focus Assist mode. You'll be able to receive important notifications even when Focus Assist is turned on. This and many more features will be included in the link below in the show notes, on your podcast, or on the YouTube.
Lots of things happening. On the 9th, that's today, we have an in-person event at Channel Pro SMB Forum in Southeast Charlotte. Happening yesterday up until the 12th, we have another in-person event, IT Nation Evolve, happening in Denver, Colorado this week. On the 11th through the 14th, another in-person event, DEF CON 30, Las Vegas, Nevada. What an incredible event. On the 11th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, the Tech Bar Podcast with Martin Keir and Gavin Stone of MSP Geek. Just if you're not listening to the Tech Bar Podcast, you have to be. Just throwing a notable mention in there. And finally, on the 12th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch with yours truly and Ray Orsini, wrapping up the week with all the amazing things happening here at the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, hit it twice. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button too on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. And if you have any questions or comments, email news at mspmedia.tv, hit us in the comments, or meet us up on socials. We will be sure to highlight those in the next episode. Tony, that takes us out of our episode. It's been a wild one. I definitely need to get back into it after being gone for a week. But I appreciate your staunch professionalism and your aplomb at this amazing show that you do, sir.
Dude, you made this happen. You like 3D printed another human. It's incredible. But let's get back to the YouTube. Do you think people will like us on the YouTube?
I think if they get on that internet's thing that I hear is catching up now, and they get on that YouTube's
in the comments. I love seeing the comments. This is incredible. Oh, this has been another amazing episode.
I just want to apologize to each and every one of you out there. Thank you for keeping up with our shenanigans. We promise to be a smidge more professional next episode. But until then, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Take care, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Kaseya's president and chief customer officer has released a response regarding the feedback on its auto renewal process and the changes customers would like to. Let me start that again because that wasn't English. Would like to see. And the changes customers would like to see while maintaining the core elements of the policy, which are always. It's not English. Hold on. Desire to make changes to the mechanics while maintaining the core elements of the policy. Always, this isn't English either. Apparently English is really hard.
I cannot say his name, so let me repeat this. Okay. Masayoshi son. Masayoshi son. Sure. it was not the confidence they needed. Masayoshi son. The new companies are not willing to budge. As mentioned in TechCrunch.com, God, I just completely hosed all of my notes. I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to take that from the back. Unicorn. Okay. Sorry, I accidentally just deleted my notes while you were talking. And here we go. Starting off our notable mentions, as listed in TechCrunch.com, SoftBank cautions that longer startup winter. Sorry for the transition.
My first notable mention is PAX 8 aligning. Today is not the day. All right. Windows 10's. Wow. That's right. I said on the YouTube, just like I'm 85 years old.
Did you say the YouTube? On the internet.
On the damn worldwide super information highway.
Exactly, that trendy internet thing.
It's never going to
get off my lawn.
Oh, man. This has been a horrible torture of an episode.
Hey, listen.
I have a feeling Phil's going to have fun with the freaking bloopers, man.
There are bloopers. Where are the bloopers?
It's at the end of every episode. Yeah.